Welcome to the Bexhill Broadview Heights Board of Education regular meeting this Monday, February 1st at 7 p.m. at 6638 Mill Road. This meeting is a meeting of the Board of Education in public for the purpose of conducting the school district's business and is not to be considered a public community meeting. There is a time for public participation during the meeting as an indicated agenda item. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dost?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Yes, please join me in the pledge of allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item C, approval of agenda addendum items. May I have a motion?
With the board's approval, I'd like to, under section I, withdraw item 2, and I'll provide more information to bring that back at a later date.
Done.
That's it?
That's it. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dost?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Chan?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item D, resolution to approve the minutes of the meetings of December 14th and December 21st, 2015, and January 6th, 2016. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any comments on tab 1? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Chiasson?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Item E, resolution to approve the financial reports of December 2015 in tab 2. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Thank you. Before you, as well as up on the screen, for the 6 months ending December 31, revenue-wise, the only item of major significance to talk about is the property tax allocation, and that's still trying to figure out when we will receive. We now have TPP money, but we also have TPP supplement money that will come to us. That was approved by the legislature after the governor's veto of the budget, line item veto of the TPP reimbursement. So I've talked with Daria Shams, who is very knowledgeable, very helpful at the Department of Education. He indicates that we will likely receive the supplemental payment, which will then, in the past, we received half of our TPP in one payment in the fall, one in the spring. Now, this year, we got half of the half. In the fall, we'll get half of that in the spring, and the supplemental money from the legislature is scheduled to come in the spring. And his information at this time is we will receive 90% of our entitlement, and then they will allow the year to close, final enrollments to be recorded with the Department of Education, and then the 10% payment that's being withheld will be paid to us in the next fiscal year, because the guarantees on this TPP supplement are tied to total state funding and not just TPP reimbursement. For us, it should not change because we're on the guarantee anyhow, so I don't think we'll get a dollar more or less, but we will wait to get it. It will be the only piece. So the wait should, on the 10% would be around $170,000 that will come in the next fiscal year rather than this. We'll update that as we get more information, but specifically when we do the May forecast update, we will bring that in. The other two items I've noted, I think the other operating revenues are just timing on those particular items. I can tell our interest in January was very, very low due to just when certain securities were scheduled to mature in our managed portfolio. And the two items are, thanks to Mr. Code and his assistant, Mary, for some of the programs they participate on the district's behalf with safety programs and other incentives offered by the workers' comp. So we've got a little extra money there that was unanticipated. On the payment side, the big item is the timing of the third pay. It was actually scheduled for Friday, which was a holiday, which would have been January, so we pushed it into December. And at the time I did the forecast, I showed it in 3 days. So January should correct that one quite a bit. So the piece I mentioned, there's no change really in the retirement insurance benefits. We had some changes in our FTE levels specifically related to some of our revised bus routes and how of those are staff, required payments, and additional full-time benefits from what we had in past years. And those weren't known by the time we post all the drops in October at least, so those weren't known when we did the forecast. So it's just a natural activity that's an outcome of some of the restoration of that half-day, everyday kindergarten model that is different this year. The other items are timing, the budgets are the budgets, and each year we typically have money left over with those. I don't think this year would be any different. Every year we refine those, but I also, as you heard me say many times, I think our staff spends very responsibly. If they don't need it, they don't buy it. And then it becomes carryover, so you can see where those are. A little bit off on the capital outlay, that's clearly timing because no one is exceeding the annual budget, so it's just based upon being the half year. So. And at the bottom, you can see we're about $1.2 million off, and the third pay issue is a big piece of that. So. Other questions? You also have the other nine slides that have been given to you in advance of the meeting as well. I can talk about those as well, but I won't bore you to tears unless you have questions. I've had some of my colleagues tell me how dry and boring my presentations are, so I'm very self-conscious now.
Animated.
You better have a financial guy. There's
nothing better than boring.
Thank you. I have a very lively PowerPoint. It's much more creative than me. So. But in all seriousness, any questions you have?
Are they going to coordinate them along with the fact that the payments are coming in the next fiscal year compared to what our budgets were, so that the evaluation of how we perform is going to look like?
I have every confidence in Daria. He's a very seasoned veteran, a very, very intelligent man. And if anybody gets it right, it'll be Daria. He's pretty solid.
We
will also be monitoring for what we believe our fair share would be, and I probably have a log of about four phone calls this year already. He's really the best one that I've talked to, not to tell him for bad. He just had the most information. But we're also 6 months into it, so there's better information available.
Yeah, I have a question, because I've seen that Woodridge was billing for charters, like,
yes,
for that. How many schools are actually doing that? Are they the only one?
No.
They're not the only one. I don't know how many in total. I've probably seen two dozen names.
Well, there are at least three dozen at this point. And I had brought this up at some point, but kind of lost sight of it. That's something I would love to see us do.
OD's pretty much said nothing will come of it. Even Mr. Phillips from Equity and Adequacy Coalition has said they don't expect that anything will come of it other than more of a public awareness.
Exactly.
We are a very small player compared to those districts.
Right.
We're not that it's nothing, but we are around $200,000 now.
Oh, it's not.
It's actually
closer to $3,000.
It was going up, but we had engaged a company who approved my first year here. A company, we go out and monitor the address of every community charter school attendee in the district, and you see a lot of mobility as a generalization. Students attending those particular schools. So we use K-12 school consultants that come down to Columbus, and they actually go out and they get a roster of our students who we're being charged for, and they make sure they still live there. I'd say in the last month we have probably removed three from our rosters. That's $18,000 to $20,000 depending on special ed conditions that we save annually. The beauty of catching them is that they're young. They would otherwise be on there forever. Sometimes it's as simple as they move from one housing unit into another, and it could be a neighboring school district. The last two, it has not been that, so it's been out of the area. Nonetheless, if we were to be charged for it, we don't want to be charged for it. And our fee for each one they find is $550 one time, and you can save about $6,000 to $7,000 annually, so it's a very good investment. Do that. And they actually have an investigator goes to the homes to check every address. We'll knock on doors. For $550, it's a very, very good value. So we've seen ours drop this year. That'll probably be part of that purchase services carryover that we'll talk about at the end of the year, because it's down probably 40%. It can change every day. If somebody enrolls tomorrow, it's a new cost. So every month, literally, it changes every month. But we do stay on top of it with twice a year residency checks on any enrollees in those particular schools.
Do we do anything as a school district to try to engage the students that have left and try to see why and if there's any way that we could get them back?
I don't know about it at all levels, but I do know at the high school we actually tried to work with them before they leave, if they're our student, before they depart, and we partner with the Educational Service Center of Cuyahoga County for, I forget the name of the curriculum, I don't want to put you, thank you, Lincoln Interactive, and it's more aligned to our curriculum, so we do try to direct those students into that program. They then still receive a Brexville Private High School diploma. Rather than a different school, so there is a separate tuition fee we pay to the county, but it's less than the offset charge for a student that goes to community or charter school.
And a better education for the kids, I'm taking it from.
So we do try that. I don't know about, some of these students have never been enrolled here. They happen to reside here.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they're not necessarily,
just chosen.
I will guarantee not every one of them has participated in our school. Because just as I said, somebody could move from here to a neighboring district, they could have done the other and just stay in the electronic school, online school, charter school, whichever it might be, because it could be brick and mortar or online. So they're not all people who were disenchanted with what went on here and decided to leave. Some of them never even
were here.
Talking about education.
Well, would there be any downside, or would it take a lot of time for us to figure out what we've lost over the last 5 or 10 years to charters and bill the ODA?
I have it on a spreadsheet for the past years. Anyhow, I track it from when we, prior to doing that presentation we did at the auditorium last year. Yeah, we have that back since the beginning of community charter school deductions. We have that every year. I already have that spreadsheet. So no, it will not take much time at all.
So what would be the process in getting that started? As we're in the middle of a completely different motion right now.
We can bring that next February 22nd, I think, is our next meeting. We can put a resolution on for you to approve, to invoice them in the total of that, and we will submit it thereafter.
It wasn't totally off topic because I wondered where it was on the spreadsheet.
It's all good.
It's all money.
That's right.
I appreciate that you brought it up.
We will have that for the 27th.
Okay, great.
That's it. We won't be worried to those folks about that.
No, it's all done. I track it just.
You probably easily can pull it out.
No, that's fine. Yeah, no,
I already have it.
Yeah.
I already have it.
That's who he is.
Yeah, once in a while, you'll have people. It's been a problem. It was a very, very big number in my former district. So you just get used to tracking it, and I use the same company as the former district as well. We had them here. And although our